This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hi, babe.
Hello, honey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you know what? I am on top of the world because the weather is turning. It's been sunny the last few days, and this week we are set for a full week of sunshine.
Are we?
Yeah, full week.
Do you know what? We've had an hour less in bed. Why are you so happy?
Babe, I don't get no sleep anyway. I'm not asked.
The clocks have gone forward today, so we're going to have light tonight. We're going to have sunshine. It's almost like summer is here.
We're on the way now, babe.
Have you done anything nice this week?
My next April 21-day challenge starts tomorrow, so I have been recording and recording and recording loads of classes and kind of just getting ready now because I feel like April, like obviously like a few gyms are opening back up. Not that I work in a gym, but you know, like things are starting to open, everything's starting to change. So for me this month, I've had like a month of kind of adapting the lockdown style to my business to like, okay, we're going back into reality. So that's been a bit of a one for me. I think quite a few people have been like that. Like, okay, now we are getting ready to open. Like, what do we need to do in whatever ways? And then I'm getting an extension built in my house. So I'm up the wall with all that. But do you know what? All positives because first world problems, isn't it? And you just, now I'm just thinking I'm not asked because soon, a few weeks time, Aperol Spritz in the garden. Gorgeous.
Oh, I can't wait. But on that note, babe, we've got our next guest in the waiting room. Can't wait to speak to her. Should we let her in?
Let's go.
Okay, Hat. So this week I am excited because in lockdown, it's changed all our routines and Netflix and box sets and series have all become a thing of our lives over the last year. And I only discovered that on my fitness program online, we have someone who is number one in the Netflix chart right now doing my Sort Your Fit Out program. Can you believe that? So I managed to grab her in a headlock. I got her to log into Zoom. And here she is now with us from the series The One. Number one in the Netflix chart. The gorgeous, the talented. Thank you for joining us, Zoe Tapper.
Oh, hello. Oh my God, that's so sweet. I think I probably started your fitness regime and thought I'd be able to hide away and not actually say hello to anyone. And suddenly I'm now like a fully fledged member. I'm doing a podcast. I'm here. I'm excited. It's great.
Do you know what? It's so mad because obviously I didn't know you before you joined Sort Your Fit Out. And I sent out a check-in message just going, hi guys, how are we getting on? How's your first week? And you replied and somehow I clicked on it and it went onto your profile and it went number one in that. And I went, what the hell is this? She's kept quiet. How's it feel to be number one, babe?
I don't know, really.
Well, I'll tell you now, because we've got your rider, blue M&Ms, white lilies.
Yes, I need to be surrounded by rose petals at all times. I need to have beautiful men handing me my food on a platter. You know what? Nothing's changed. I'm still in lockdown. I'm still doing my thing. I think that's a funny thing, actually, because before it comes out, you know, it's just your little show that you've done with a group of people and you've had this experience together. And it's just your, it's sort of like your own little secret. And then slowly but surely it gets released. And suddenly everybody, all my friends are texting me, everybody's going crazy about it. And you get really excited and then you kind of put your phone down and go, all right, well, I best put a wash on or something.
Just for anyone who's not sure about The One or hasn't watched it yet, will you just kind of fill us in and tell us about the show?
Yeah, sure. So The One is, it's set about 5 years into the future. So it's kind of sci-fi, but not too far removed from reality. And in this world that we encounter, scientists have discovered a way of matching people to your one true love, your soulmate, via your DNA. So you take a sample of your hair, you send it into the laboratory, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, you get a match with somebody and they're supposed to be absolutely genetically your perfect person. So the drama kind of follows a number of different storylines and follows a few different couples and how that discovery has kind of changed their lives. And it then also follows a crime that is linked to the big matching company, the match DNA company that's head up by a CEO called Rebecca Webb. And she's a bit shady and there's a crime that's linked to her.
She is a bitch.
I'm glad you said it. And so my character, I play a detective, Kate Saunders, who's already taken the test. She's already found her match, but she's also then, she has to investigate this woman, and she realises that there's a whole load of dodgy dealings going on.
So do you know when you started recording this, was it in lockdown or before lockdown?
It was just before. So we finished filming in March 2020. So literally just before.
Bloody
and
hell.
We had no idea. Yeah, I think my last day was literally the 1st of March or something. So we had no idea that we were kind of about to go into this crazy lockdown.
And did you have a kind of an idea that it was good? Was it predicted to be as big as it's become? Or was it just I've got another role? Because you've done so many jobs in the past.
I never had that much expectation, actually, because I've done so many roles in the past where I've gone, this is going to be amazing, people are going to love it. And then it's been a massive flop and no one's watched it. Or the other way around, where I've gone, oh, I'm not so sure about this. And it's kind of come really good. So I try not to kind of get my hopes up too much. But definitely in terms of the filming of it, there was a lovely vibe. There's lots of people in it that you might not recognise, actually. There's loads of people who I certainly hadn't really come across before in the profession, quite a lot of nice young new talent. And that appeals to me, because I think sometimes you see the same faces over and over again on television, especially in this country, not so much in the US. But it was just really nice. Everybody was really excited about doing the job. People really committed to it. We were all mostly filming, actually, even though it looks like it's set in London. Most of it was filmed in Cardiff and Bristol and Newport. And so we were all kind of away from home. It was before, you know, we all had to keep our distance. So we did sort of become a little bit of a family and socialised together and ate together and worked together. So it was really lovely.
In terms of your exposure for your career, number one on Netflix at the moment, it is as big as you can physically get, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So it's huge for you. It's amazing.
It has been a really lovely thing to come kind of towards the end of this weird year, because I think at the beginning of the lockdown period, our industry just kind of collapsed. We literally didn't know what was going to happen. Everybody was out of work. My husband's also an actor, so that was two of us in the house going, how are we going to make our living? And how do we know how long this is going to go on for? Do we know if we're ever going to be able to be actors again? How is this going to happen? So I think obviously now, brilliantly, things are starting to pick up. All the big production companies have found ways of dealing with COVID and putting loads of precautions in place. But I still haven't sort of worked that much this year. So it is really lovely for me to kind of go, actually, here's a show I've been in. You know, it does feel like a sort of a bit of a gift.
That's
really,
a bit
to have
like
that.
An athlete going, I haven't run this year, but then win the Olympics, babe.
Yeah. I wanted to say this, actually, that your positivity is really infectious. And there's sometimes I'm cursing you when I'm doing burpees, but at the same time, you suddenly say something so kind of like, come on, guys, get a move on. You're so positive. It's lovely. You've got a really gorgeous, I don't know, aura that sort of comes through the screen. It's really nice.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Are you going red?
You know, I'm not very good for compliments. I have actually gone red.
It's the worst thing when you go red and then someone says, are you going red?
And then you go more red. Hey, so, do you know with the one? Because obviously lockdown restrictions are going to start to ease soon. I watched the final episode last night, and let me just say, there's always twists and turns, but that closing scene, I did not expect what I've seen. And it has definitely left it open for another series to be recorded.
Yeah. You know, that's what everyone keeps asking me, and I don't have an answer. We haven't been told. I swear on my life, I have not been told about second series yet.
Zoe, just send us their number, love. We will give them a call. We are course made.
I know, you need to send a few people around, don't you? I mean, having a word with them, because, you know, we've had lovely sort of feedback from Netflix. I've had emails from the producers going, congratulations, we're thrilled with how it's been received. But no one's confirmed whether or not we're going to do a second season or not. So I think there's something, I don't know quite how it works, but Netflix definitely look at the streaming figures. And I think the fact that it's remained in the top 10, I think it's still even number two and it's been out for 2 weeks. And I think number one is like Formula One or something. So it's not even a drama at number one.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that it's been obviously continuously sort of being watched, I think, is a good sign.
Well, babe, this time last year, it was Carol Baskin. You are the 2021 Carol Baskin.
Oh, my God. I'm not tragedy. I haven't killed my husband.
Doesn't it feel like a million years ago?
That really does feel like a million years ago. At the beginning of lockdown, it was always so surreal that people did kind of gravitate towards like crazy stuff like, you know, the Tiger King. And then now we're at a stage where everybody's watched everything. And so they're desperate for the next, for the new thing that's come out. You know, so I think we're lucky in the sense that people are really keen to watch good stuff that's, you know, that's new. Although I have just sat through, I'm ashamed to admit, well, not ashamed because I enjoyed it, all 40 episodes of Married at First Sight Australia.
So have I. Oh my God.
I can't believe I lasted all four. I watched the first 10. I was like, oh, I'm going to get dragged into this and I should probably stop. And then I watched another one. And then it started to repeat at quite a lot of stuff. And I was thinking, I've got to give this up now. And then here I am at the end of 40 episodes.
I haven't watched one, but everyone who's watched it says they end up obsessed with it.
It's weird.
Me and my husband, Luke, like, got really, really obsessively addicted to it. And we're watching it every night. And one night he was like, you know the way some couples have that thing where, like, they can have, like, that one celebrity that they, like, they're allowed to get off with, like, if they ever met them? This is dead serious. I go, go on, yeah. And he went, I don't half love that, Jules, you know? I was like, I went, do you want it? I went, make this commitment now. Is she going to be your number one? He went, yeah. Give me Julie. I went, her name's not Julie. He's going, yeah, I love Julie from Married at First Sight.
Oh my God, that's so hilarious. Oh, bless him. It's a really funny one, isn't it? Because I don't know what it is that drags me into it, but I've got a sort of split brain where I enjoy really good drama. Like I enjoy really well-written, well-acted drama, but I've also got a side of me that just loves trash TV too, and you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I you know, you can have both in your life, but 40 episodes is a
it's a commitment, babe.
It's quite a commitment, yeah.
But you know your background, you went to Central School, and that's like
one of the biggest
drama schools, isn't it, in the country?
I think there's about six drama schools that are kind of considered sort of like the top ones, and that's one of them. Yeah, so that was a long time ago now.
So you're not just TV, you're like stage, TV, everything.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is, I mean, the drama training you get at drama school is quite classical. It's very much based on, you know, preparing you for a career in the theatre. And actually, we hardly did any training for like screen stuff. But this was quite a long time ago. But actually, most of my career has been spent on the telly. You know, I have done a few bits of theatre. I've done and I did a bit of Shakespeare. I worked at the Globe for a season, and I've done a couple of plays. But I think you get into a sort of cycle of opportunity. You know, if they see you in something, they want to repeat it. And so you kind of, before you know it, you're kind of in this little world, which I love. But, you know, in an ideal scenario, I'd love to kind of mix it up a bit more and do, you know, a couple of theatre shows as well. But we haven't even got our theatres back yet.
It's funny you say you get into a cycle because I've just been Googling, you're right, and there's an interview here and it says, Zoe said that she felt like she kept getting typecast as wenches and harlots. wait there. Zoe said that was my prostitute phase. I was a bit more buxom back then. And then it's saying that you even got forced to do naked scenes.
Oh my God. Don't pull up stuff from the internet I said when I was about 25.
Babe, I used to be a stripper.
Did you?
We've got so much in common.
Oh my God, that's so nice. Tell me about that. I want to know everything.
I was a puff in the buff. I had a penny, a butler in the buff. I used to just do hen parties with my bum out and pour champagne.
And tell me about that, because I've been to a couple of hen parties where they've had butlers in the bath. And I'm one of those awful people that gets a little bit like anxious around the guy. And I can't like really commit to sort of doing all the games and things. And then I end up talking to them about, you know, their life, and they tell me that, you know, they're just struggling to pay their school fees and things. I'm like, oh God, why do I know this? This is awful. And you're sat here half naked.
I'd turn up and I'd go, right, girls, I'm a puff in the buff. Your fella won't mind if you get a photo. Go on my Instagram. I've got a boyfriend. There is no funny business.
Oh,
you
that's
do not
nice.
Touch, you do not pinch, you do not go under the penny. And I went, we're here for a good time, get pissed and enjoy your hen night.
You'd just drink them dry, wouldn't you, love?
Honest to God, I think I was on the verge of an alcohol problem because every Friday, Saturday, I was rotten because I'd be going job to job just pissed all night.
And did you enjoy it?
I had a ball. It was just, well, I get on with girls anyway, and then as soon as you set the the expectation of the night and who you are.
Yeah.
You just have a, it's like being out with your mates, having a good time.
Oh, I bet you were brilliant. I bet you're a brilliant fan.
So anyway, back to you being naked, babe.
Speaking of harlots.
Speaking of prostitutes. Out of context, that headline's awful. Like, that's my prostitute phase. Like, that's a really bad headline to kind of... Yeah, I wasn't actually a prostitute, if anyone's listening and doesn't know me. When I left drama school, I was a bit more fuller figured, because pretty much I'd become a vegetarian when I was at drama school, and I didn't really know how to cook for myself, and I just basically ate, pasta the whole time. So I was rocking the fuller figure. It was fine. And I got this role in a film straight out of drama school, and it was a big period costume drama, and it was to play the mistress of, it was all set during the reign of Charles II, who was played by Rupert Everett. And he's gorgeous. He's everything you expect him to be and want him to be. He's just brilliant.
Oh.
And it was to play his mistress. And I had to be, she was called Nell Gwynn, and she was an orange seller in the theatre, and she was kind of real Cockney Sparrow. And part of the audition notice for when I applied for it was that you had to be quite booby. So I was kind of perfect for the part at the time. And then, of course, I played that. It was a really lovely big film. And then people went, oh, they looked at me and went, prostitute, perfect. And so I just then went on a roll of playing prostitute after prostitute after prostitute, to the point where I kind of eventually went to my agent, I think we need to kind of break this cycle somehow, because it's probably not a good look for the rest of my life. So that's what happened. So I sort of, but now I look back and I haven't played prostitutes for ages. I'm like, where have all the prostitutes gone? I can't quite fancy it again.
I want to be a prostitute again.
I think when you're starting out, you just really want to work, and you just take whatever's given to you, really, because you're not, you know, I was poor, I was working, you know, that first job I did, I was on a film set during the day with Rupert Everett, and then I was working all night as a waitress, you know, I was kind of scrabbling around for money. And so you kind of just want to get more and more jobs. And if they're the same thing, then, you know, why not? But I suppose I spent most of my 20s then slightly typecast in period sort of costume dramas, which I love, but I did kind of want to get out of the 18th century.
Yeah.
It's my 30s and onwards have been much more varied, so I've been lucky, really.
I feel like Netflix was huge before lockdown, but now Netflix is like a religion.
They rule the world now, yeah.
Yeah.
You turn the TV on, you don't watch the TV, do you? You just put Netflix straight on. And I feel like now, because they've got such a demand, the work is probably a lot more for those guys than just TV and theatre and stuff, yeah, where it's still uncertain, and like film, we don't know when we're going to be able to sit in a cinema.
Yeah, and also I think because of the way things have to be filmed right now, there's so many like precautions in place. You have to have, you know, COVID tests all the time. Everyone's in full PPE. You've got to quarantine before a job for 2 weeks, because obviously actors, when they're filming together, can't wear masks. So you have to have quarantined and make sure that you're safe. You know, all of that costs money, and time costs money. And so I think it's only people, the big giants like Netflix and Amazon, that can afford to kind of keep putting out those big shows, yeah, right now. And also, you're right, like trends in the way people watch TV have changed so much in the last 10 years. Like you used to watch a show on BBC or ITV or whatever and, you know, wait a week for the next one. And now you can sit and watch 4 episodes or 8 episodes all in one sitting. Yeah. And it's, I think that is changing the way people kind of interact with television.
Well, yeah, Line of Duty's just started last week, hasn't it? And I'm human. Yeah, I've got to wait a week to watch the night.
I know.
It's back to the old days.
I know. And I wonder if that's, I mean, I should imagine it's going to change. Like, because there was, did you see that show that Nicole Kidman was in, The Undoing?
I haven't watched that yet.
That was brilliant. And that again was like every week. And as much as it is annoying, because you go, what I want, you're so used to kind of getting that another fix and getting it in. It's like binging, isn't it? There was also something quite nice in a weird way of going, oh, is it 9 o'clock? I'm going to sit down and watch Nicole Kidman. Yeah. You know, it's like like a little bit old fashioned. It's, yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race comes out, like, I mean, UK's just finished, but US is still on. And it comes out every Saturday at 10 a.m. And every Saturday at 10 a.m., I organise for the baby to be preoccupied, and that's my thing.
And you need to find those things, don't you? Especially this in this weird time. And I suppose because we're not going out and meeting friends or going to restaurants or cinemas, or, you know, you still need to like give yourself a little treat. You need to feel like you've got something to look forward to, don't you?
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
How have you found lockdown?
Yeah, up and down, really. Because I'm self-employed, I don't know if you find this sometimes with how your work has a pattern to it, but because I'm self-employed, essentially, at the beginning, it didn't feel completely alien to me. Like, I think some people who are working in offices all the time and they're suddenly stuck at home, it's a complete change. Whereas I'm quite used to spending periods of time out of work and being at home. And also, you know, at the beginning, I'm sure everyone felt it, but it was just a bit of a novelty and the sun was shining and we were all just trying to had that spirit of getting on with it, didn't we? But I think just now, because it's gone on for so long, it just is wearing everyone down. And I particularly, I've got two little children. So that last bit of lockdown before the kids went back to school was tough. Like, I really found it tough and the kids found it tough. You know, it's completely abnormal for them not to be surrounded by other children all the time and just to be kind of stuck at home and your parents being teachers as well as parents. It's all just too topsy-turvy. So I am more than ready for it all to kind of lift now. And I hope it continues how it's looking. It's looking positive.
Just before we started recording, me and Richie were talking about, I was saying to him, have you booked anywhere for the 12th of April? Because everyone's talking saying, oh, have you got anything booked? Are we going anywhere? Have you got any plans? What's your first thing that you're going to do when you get out, girl?
Well, I haven't got plans for the 12th of April. We have got a couple of holidays booked for the summer. One I'm slightly worried about because it's in July and it's going to Italy. I don't know if that's going to happen.
You booked a holiday, didn't you, Rich, for the end of the year? And I feel like if you've got the insurance to get your money back and it's something for you to look forward to, even if then you end up having to cancel it and you're a letdown for a day or two, if in the meantime it's giving you something to look forward to have something to focus on, it's not a bad thing.
Absolutely. And the other thing, my dad is turning 70 actually in the summer, and I think, you know, it's been hard for my mum and dad as well, like everybody, you know, being so isolated. And I said to him, you know, we've got to get something planned for the summer. But of course, we didn't want to risk getting a holiday abroad, you know, then we'd booked the Italy trip like last year. So that's just been sort of sitting there. But so we tried to find somewhere in this country. And of course, everybody's gone crazy. There's nothing out there. And we finally found somewhere not that far away from us, actually, on the coast. And we've got that booked, but it has given us a boost, like knowing that it's there, like definitely something to look forward to. Just the thought of us all being together. And, you know, like, I miss going to people's houses, like weirdly, like as much as I miss going out and doing stuff, I miss actually being in another person's house. It just feels kind of strange, doesn't it? Not being able to kind of even just pop round your neighbour.
It's having someone round. You know when someone just calls in for a cup of tea or if the sun's shining and you go, oh, do you want to come down and I'll just throw the barbecue on? Things that we've never thought about before. I can't wait to still not go out but have my mates come round for a bevy.
I know, I've got a group of school friends who every week for I don't know how many years we've taken it in turns to go to each other's house for dinner. Like, it's just what we do. And I haven't seen them now almost for a year, it seems. And so we've got loads of like garden dates booked because we're only allowed in the garden, aren't we? But that's fine. We're just going to get our coats on and sit and drink in the garden together.
Oh yeah, a few bevvies, you won't feel it.
When Harriet went, have you booked something to eat? And I was like, it's in April in the northwest of England, which pisses down 6 days out of seven anyway. I was like, what's the odds on that one day we're going to get sunshine to sit outside and eat anyway?
I know.
So you're best in your back garden in the gazebo, I think.
Exactly. I think we've all become a bit more resilient anyway. We've all been on so many walks in the last year that you just get used to kind of sticking on your coat and just going on, don't you?
I've got to confess, last year, me and Connor did take a gin and a tin and we walked around the park so we could feel like we were out having a drink.
That's the thing. You have to find your little way of making some fun, don't you? I love a gin and a tin.
But so, do you know about exercise and keeping fit and keeping mentally well in the last year? Like, sort your fit out. You've only been doing now with me for the last 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
What have you been doing for the rest of the year before that?
I'm a bit weird with exercise in, to a certain extent, because I'm not that motivated to exercise, which I feel a bit scared of telling you that.
Neither is he.
But I, but I do love the benefits of it, and I do love, it does make me feel better. And I do, you know, if I'm feeling down, it does give me a boost. And so I do know all those things that it's good for me. But I do need someone to motivate me. I'm not very self-motivated. And, you know, my husband is annoyingly really self-motivated. He like runs triathlons and things. And he's always saying to me, just go for a run, just do this. And I just don't have it in me. So I always need a challenge. And I think in the lockdown in the summer last year, I was like, right, more than anything, I needed to get out of the house. I needed some space away from everybody. And so I said, I'm going to do the couch to 5K. I'll get running. I've never really run in my life, so I'll do that. And I did that and I really committed to it. But my problem was, as soon as I'd finished it, I didn't run again. I ticked the box and I was like, brilliant, good for me, pat on the back, stop. Where are the crisps? Where are the wine? And so I used to do loads of yoga and I used to go to this brilliant class down the road from me. And of course, that's been closed. And I tried to do that online and I found it myself kind of wandering off and not really doing it. And so it kind of got to this lockdown and I knew that the country's opening up and we're starting to, you know, get a bit more freedom again. And I was thinking of the summer and I'm thinking about working again and just kind of getting myself back sort of mentally and physically fit. And I thought I need to have a challenge again. Otherwise I'm just not going to do it. So I know Tamsin. I worked with her years ago actually, but we follow each other on social media.
So you're mates with Tamsin?
Yeah. And I mean, I haven't seen her for a long time, but we sort of keep in touch over social media. And I saw her and her boyfriend, they were always kind of posting about your exercise classes. So I just thought, right, that's it. That's exactly what I need. I need someone to just shout at me every morning and tell me to do it. So my challenge is going to be when this ends, and I will do it. I'm determined. I'm quite a driven person. I will definitely get to the end. But I've got to be careful about what happens after that and how I, you know, make sure I continue.
And don't forget, you're in the chance of winning a holiday here, babe. So last time we had four winners and I give £2,000 out between four people. That could be you. Get that bikini out, babe. Hey, burn the caftan.
Oh, I love your little phrases. Burn the caftan. Get the mop out. It's not a slot drop. It's a squat. I love it. I love it.
And tell anyone who's had a baby and they're doing high knees to grab the mop.
It makes me die. I'm literally like, oh God. Oh, it's funny. It's brilliant. You've got such, I mean, I always imagine though that you like do these classes in the morning, you're pumped up, you're full of motivational speeches, and then you turn us all off and you're like, boom. And you just drop. And then for the rest of the day, you're just like really miserable and you're really angry and horrible to everybody. And then it's like, next morning, so you're like, hi guys.
Like a little plant, he wilts, then comes back up when the sun comes up. So you were saying as well, you've got two kids, I've got a little girl, and you were talking about keeping them busy during lockdown. Are they made up to be back in school?
Yeah, they really are, actually. We all are, to be honest. Like, I, as much as, you know, they're my life, it's a weird mental shift. I don't know how old your little one is. How old's your little one?
She's only one.
Oh, she's tiny, so she, you know, she's with you all the time. But I think what happened just before lockdown, I just kind of got to the stage where my daughter was already at school and my little boy had just started reception. So I kind of had this experience of going, for the first time in however many years, I've got both kids in full-time education. I've kind of, you know, yay, I've got some freedom back again. And then, of course, there's a massive global pandemic and I've got to look after my own children again, which I think what's been challenging has been the homeschooling. I think they're gorgeous kids and we've been out and about as much as we can and trying to keep them excited and going out. And, you know, I live somewhere where there's loads of parks and loads of woodlands and stuff. So we have been busy, but it's when we're contained in the house, I think we find it hard. And I think it's the switching of those roles. So, you know, there's a reason why kids respond to their teachers at school and play up with their parents at home, because they don't want to see, you know, they don't want to sit and do maths with their mum. They want to play with their mum and they want to, you know, have cuddles with their mum and sit and watch a film with their mum. And I think we found that, especially with the little one, a really hard transition, because he was just like, why are you making me learn? That's not what I do. And because he didn't have quite as much understanding of what was happening in the world, it was a kind of combination of trying to balance, like, not making him anxious or worried about the fact that he's not at school, but at the same time going, goodness, we don't know how long this has got to last. We've got to do a little bit of teaching. So, you know, but there's no rule book, is there? And we just made it up pretty much, and we just got on with it. And if we were having a bad day, we just went, you know what, sod it. We're not doing it today. Yeah. We're going to go out and we're going to, you know, we tried not to pile too much pressure on ourselves because they are little. And I think, you know, in some respects, I was glad that they were at this age when this has happened, because I think the trickier age probably is teenagers, when they're just at that stage where they're, or it's all about their social life, it's all about their mates, and they just want to be away from home, and they're suddenly stuck inside. I think that would be really tricky. Whereas at least with the little ones, you know, really their life is just about our little family. But my God, I'm so relieved they're back.
I just can't even begin to put myself in your shoes of that pressure. Like, it's just been me and Connor in our house, and it's been boring at times, but we've just floated through because it's such easy company. But to have someone depending on you to keep them occupied, who doesn't understand what's going on, who can't rationalise it,
any work we've done to me and you together over this lockdown, every time I've asked you, you're like, on board, babe. And I always go, oh my God, I'm exhausted. I'm so busy.
Yeah.
And it's funny, isn't it? Like, my little girl, because she was only a few months old when we did originally lock down. And then
that's hard as well.
So she's still gone to nursery. Everyone that worked in the nursery was a female. And then she spent all her time with me. And then the only other women she saw, or the other people that she saw, were women. And so now we have this massive thing with her that she won't go near men. And she's terrified. But even to the point where, because she doesn't really know my dad, because she couldn't spend any time with him. Even though we did FaceTime, it's different. But it was the first time in ages that, like, we met in the park and we're walking. And he was like trying to play with her, and she was just running away. And I was like, she'll never remember this. I'm very aware of that.
No.
But it's a massive social thing for kids where, like, now, like, I'm like, oh God, is that's weird, isn't it? That she won't go near men and blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, my husband has made up she won't go near any men.
But I'm not sure it'll be the same when she's a teenager, but yeah.
But like, it is hard, and it's been hard on them socially. And I think for parents, it's been this massive, like, it has been this massive thing, and teachers, and now that things are very slowly in their own way starting to kind of get back to some whatever the new normal is going to be, that all of us are a bit like, do you know what, maybe that through this we've learned that actually not every day is going to go how you planned it, but we can just go, do you know what, we got to the end of the day and we did it and we're all right.
You know what, that's so true. And I think personally, and I think I speak for a lot of people, that we've all had to just lead simpler lives.
Yeah.
I think, you know, certainly in my profession and lots of people's professions, like, it's always like, what's the next thing? Well, you know, when am I going to do something else that's exciting? And trying to get those adrenaline buzzes through your job or through going out with your mates or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And actually what we've had to all learn is you have to just accept your situation and go with it and run with it. And not every day is going to be great, but it doesn't mean that tomorrow won't be better. But hats off to you. It's having a little baby's hard at the best of times, but part of that whole first year as a mother, as a new mother, is wanting to kind of connect with other mums or go to baby groups and all of those sorts of things.
I know, yeah. But you know what? I did attempt a few before the lockdown and the half got on my nerves. So it's just
You've just got to find one or two people that are your tribe. Like,
you have to, like, cling to the normal ones you're, like, hunting around.
I remember it feeling like dating. Like, you've got to just, like, find one person, one friend, and you're like, yes, please, will you have my number?
You were just saying about adrenaline buzzers, and I don't know about you, Hat. When you do your class, like you were saying, you come off and you're pumped and you're full of adrenaline.
Yeah.
And like you said, finding out you were number one and it's doing so good. And then, like you say, you log off the class and it's like, you are all pumped up, and then it's like, what can I do?
Because we've got no one to talk to or to bounce off of to say, this is what I've just done, or this is, and for you, it's such a huge scale, because who gets the fucking number one on Netflix and then doesn't get to go to the pub with the mates to go, yeah!
Well, exactly. Like, normally there'd be a party or a big screening event, or, you know, but it's, you know, Netflix, like, sent me a bottle of champagne, and it was the most exciting thing that happened to me for months. I was like, oh, champagne! You know, it's just kind of, you know, it's a funny one. And it's going to be interesting, isn't it? I wonder if we'll all just completely go mad. Like, you know, when we're all out free and again, it'll be like the roaring 20s, and we'll all just go crazy and want to be out and about all the time. I wonder if that's what's going to happen. I hope so, actually.
I hope so.
Zoe, thank you so much for coming on and having a chat with us, Queen.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I feel like I want to sing Robbie Williams. She's the one.
I love Robbie Williams. He's my total hero. I love him.
Nah, that's what we need to play. Can we have that as the play out? She's the one.
Oh, yes, please. There's a picture, if you look on my Instagram, there's a picture of, I met Robbie Williams at a party, and because he was literally my teen idol, the picture, I look totally crazy. I'm standing next to him and he's like looking at me, like, gorgeous and cool, and I'm going, like, it's just absolutely mortifying, but it was so funny I had to put it on social media and show everybody, because I was just, it's like a little teenage dream come true.
I think I'd have done exactly the same.
If you'd have met Carly.
But babe, do you know what? It's been amazing to get to know you. And thank you so much. And I'll see you anyway, because you're with me for the next 5 weeks every day at 10 a.m. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really enjoying it. And thank you so much for getting me off my couch and sorting my fit out. And thank you for having me. I've had a really nice time chatting to you.
Thanks, babe.
Oh, thank you, babe. See you tomorrow.
All right. Take care. Bye, guys.
Wasn't that lovely? Wasn't Zoe lovely?
She is an absolute angel, isn't she? She's lovely.
And obviously she's been doing my classes for the past few weeks, and you chat to someone on a message, but you don't get to know who they are or like see what they're like when they're talking as a person. And it was just like, and she was just, that was one of my favourite episodes we've ever done.
Oh, babe. Yeah, she was. She was really, she was very uplifting person, wasn't she?
Yeah. So, what are we going to do for this week's challenge, babe?
I think this week, because things are starting to open up and the sun is starting to shine and we are feeling, you know, better, you can start to plan the things that maybe are going to uplift you over the next few weeks. So your job for this week is to start making a couple of plans, and that might not be, there's no pressure with it if you want to make, book your first meal or reach out to someone that you haven't spoken to properly for the last year. It might be that you've been busy, they've been busy, or you might have lost contact over the last few years.
Or get on Hinge, get on Tinder, get swiping, because you are soon allowed to get out. Let's get physical, physical.
Do you think people are wearing masks on a date? Imagine necking with a mask on.
Do you know what? I've never even thought. Imagine. No, do you know what? I was talking to someone. Who was it? One of my clients was talking on Zoom, and they had to do a CPR course in the hospital. And now, if anyone has to give resuscitation or whatever, do you know the compressions and that, they have to put a towel over the face or something of the person because of COVID.
Is that why Luke held that towel over my head last night?
A dirty ticket.
No, I didn't mean like that.
See you later. Whatever floats your boat. See you later.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Newsjacking with Dan and Katie.
Hello, my name's Dan.
Hiya, I'm Katie.
And we are back with our brand new podcast, Newsjacking. Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're going with, yeah. What? Not to be mistaken for news jerking.
No, we did talk about news jerking, didn't we?
Posh Ben, the producer, can you confirm the name of our podcast? Is it Newsjacking or News Jerking?
No, we're going Newsjacking.
Okay. Better cancel those t-shirts I got ordered then.
We should probably explain what newsjacking is.
Yeah, what is newsjacking anyway?
Siri, what's newsjacking?
Newsjacking. The practice of taking advantage of current events or news stories as a way of promoting or advertising your own product or brand.
So essentially what you're saying is we're talking about other people's news as a way of drawing attention to our own new podcast.
Basically, yeah. It's shameless, but I'm hoping it will be effective.
So that's News Jerking with Dan and Katie. It's going to be started...
Jacking.
That's News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Yeah. You can find us now in your podcast app.
News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram @DanandKatie.